Lead us and show us the way.
My life is better. I might have to preach this sermon twice, you know. That's right, better than none. Amen. Well, if we're going to fully do fully church, we're going to fully take up an offering. Amen. Come on down, Grace. We're going to give praise to God. Amen. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our helper. Oh, the Lord is our provider. Oh, Jesus. All right, Grandma, got to sit along now. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, for this day. We pray, Father, for your anointing and your blessing on this word, on our offering. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless each one here. I thank you for the faithfulness, Lord God, of them, and I pray that you would, Lord God, be with them. Lord, increase in them. May their joy be complete as they get completely known in you, Jesus. I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
11 days until we celebrate, celebrate, celebrate Jesus' birthday.
How about that? 11 days till we celebrate Jesus' birthday, our Lord and Savior. You know, every year I think of the wise men, the Magi. You know, I got it in my sermon here, but. Do you know what's amazing about the wise men? They went on an epic journey. Who here wants to go on an epic journey? All of us want to go on an epic journey, right?
Nope.
Grandma doesn't want to go on an epic journey. But every year I think of the Magi, the wise men, from the east. How did they know? This was my question. How did they know about the prophecy of Jesus? Does anybody have an answer?
I knew the scriptures.
Shh. How?
They knew the scriptures.
How do they know the scriptures, though? How do they get it? But how do they get them? That goes to the question. How and when did these wise men from the east get the scriptures of Jesus? Right? The prophecies. What did they do? When they found out that there was going to be a star, they went on an epic journey to see who? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Huh? They saw the star. Then they went. It was a sign. You see, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That's who they went to go see. I've wondered to myself, how did these Magi, the wise men, know of this star? Well, I heard a guy this week. How many out there have heard a guy? I've heard a guy. I heard a guy this week briefly speak about this, and I remembered it, and I might not get it perfectly straight how he explained it, but do you know that the wise men or in the Magi are only mentioned in the Bible twice. I mean, the prophecy of Jesus, the wise men, that Matthew tells us, right? And then he goes all the way back to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar. The only other time that the wise men were mentioned in the Bible, or the Magi, is in the book of Daniel, the prophet. King Nebuchadnezzar appointed Daniel over all the wise men. King Nebuchadnezzar appointed Daniel over all the wise men of the Babylonians, or of Babylon at that time. And that's in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. It says, now Daniel was chosen along with Shadrach, Meshach, and guess who?
Abednego.
because of their knowledge. They were without blemish. They were good looking, the Bible says. They were good looking men. They were suitable for instruction and wisdom. They were perceptive, and they were capable of serving in the king's palace. And they were taught the Chaldean language and their customs and their literature. These were young men of nobility from royal families. Did you know that? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel were men of nobility from royal families that were chosen by the king's chief eunuch, and they were picked out because of their good looks and their wisdom and their smarts and their knowledge. Now, Daniel was in charge of all of the wise men. How did he get to be in charge of all the wise men in Babylon? And trust me, Babylon conquered a lot of nations. They had a lot of wise men from all these different nations that they've conquered. But Daniel, how did he become the wisest of all the wise men? What did he do? No. He interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody else. Nebuchadnezzar was going to wipe out all of the wise men in Babylon. He was going to kill them all if they could not interpret his dream. But Daniel was given this interpretation by God, and he was chosen to go and tell Nebuchadnezzar about this dream. Now, Daniel, who was in charge of all the wise men, he was also in charge of teaching them. Now, you got to remember where Daniel came from. Daniel came from the Israelites, the Jews. And what did Daniel teach them? I bet you he taught them all the prophecies. I bet you he taught them how Adam and Eve were created in the garden, how God created all things. Because I bet you he taught them also about how Moses led them out of Egypt. I bet you he taught them about the prophecies of the coming star in Jesus. I bet you that's what he did. I bet you he taught them about Isaiah, the prophet who prophesied about the coming Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 7, 14, he said, therefore the Lord your God, he himself will give you a sign. He told them about the baby Jesus being born of a virgin. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and you will name him Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And all of that happened. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And I wonder if Daniel also talked to him about the man named Balaam. Remember Balaam? Remember the story of Balaam and Balak? When the Israelites were going into the, when they're coming out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness and they were conquering other nations. What happened? One of the kings of the Midians came up, or one of the kings, King Balak came up, and he knew of a guy named Balaam. He said whatever Balaam blessed was blessed, whatever Balaam cursed was cursed. And Balak wanted Balaam to go out there and curse his enemies so that they could win. He wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites. But God gave Balaam a dream. And he said in this dream, he said, do not go to Balak and do not curse what I have blessed. Do not curse the Israelites. So the king sent these men to come and get Balaam. And God told him, don't go with them. Don't go with them. Don't do it. So Balaam sent back the message to Balak. And he said, I can't go with you. God told me I can't go. So then Balak sent more people to Balaam. Now Balaam, you know, here he is, and all of a sudden you got all of these more people that are more important, higher up, generals, people in the king's council that are coming and pleading to go to get Balaam so that Balaam would curse the Israelites. And Balaam said, I can't go with you. The Lord told me not to go. Well, then the Lord told him, since Balak came and summoned you to go, I'm going to send you. And what happened? Balaam got on his donkey. Remember the story about the donkey? He got on his donkey, and there appeared an angel of the Lord on his path with a big flaming sword, and the donkey was, he was trying to get the donkey. The donkey stopped. He was trying to get the donkey to go, and the donkey wouldn't go. And that's when God spoke through the donkey to Balaam about there's an angel standing there blocking your way with a fiery sword. Well, Balaam had this prophecy all the way back in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, and he said this, and I guarantee you that Daniel was telling his wise men and teaching his wise men, his magi, all about the prophecies of the Jews. And he said, a star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will rise from Israel. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will rise from Israel. All the way back in Numbers. Now, I didn't even know that was there until today. And that Balaam did that.
Wow,
spoke that.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
That is proof of the Word of God.
That's amazing. So that prophecy goes all the way back from when the Israelites were being led out of Egypt. And that was before Isaiah and his prophecy. Daniel must have taught all these wise men all these things. Yes. Discernment.
No,
prophecy.
No,
prophecy.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. No. Above all, I wish you'd prophesy. Tongues are great.
Yeah.
The gift of tongues, prophecy,
well,
discernment. Bible is irrefutable. You know what's amazing about the Bible? It's irrefutable. It's irrefutable because of all the prophecies. You know what that means? You can't come up against the Bible because it's the written Word of God and it's the truth. And it's a standard that many nations have placed their government in. It's the moral, it's a moral, absolute moral line. It's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? It's alive. So Daniel, listen, Daniel must have taught all of these wise men these things. Now think of this. All of these wise men were taught all of these things, all these prophecies about the coming Messiah, about Jesus. So guess what happens? 600 years later. Can you imagine? This is what's exciting to me. 600 years later, here you got three wise men that see this star and a bell rings in their head and it's like, wait a minute. I remember a story that was told of a star rising up out of Jacob all the way back when the Israelites were being led out of Egypt, you know, which was thousands of years before. I remember a story. Can you imagine these three wise men sitting there? I can picture three wise men. And there's a great movie on the three wise men. Is it called The Three Wise Men? I don't know either, but it's a There, I remember watching a great movie of that, of them three wise men and their journey, years and years ago. But I can remember these guys sitting there in their, I don't know what you would call it, laboratory. Their historical writings, pulling out historical writings, shifting through them, thinking like, something's happening in the skies, because they were astronomers. So they watched the skies, they watched the stars, they were looking for the signs. You know, they wanted to know what was going on in the world and what's going on prophetically in the world. So when they see this star rise up, they're like, there's a sign. I remember hearing about this. I remember my dad speaking about this sometime, teaching me. I remember going to class and I remember hearing about how the star is going to rise and how there's going to be a Messiah come out of the Jewish nation, out of Israel, who's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's actually going to be God on earth with us. I remember hearing these things. I remember hearing these stories about these things. And I can just see them getting excited about it, pulling down scrolls, pulling out literature. Now, these wise men were from the east, so they had to travel far to get to Bethlehem, right? And they had to plan it. So God must have gave them the sign early, right? So they're thinking in their mind, I just can't imagine what the Magi is going through. You know, and then they're thinking, you know what? Let's go on a journey. Let's see this thing. Let's see if this thing really comes to pass. And can you imagine their faith when they see the star? You know, it's just amazing. Let's see, in Isaiah, before I jump the gun here, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. I got my Bibles marked. Chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, it says, look at the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoiced at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Isn't that amazing? That was written well before Daniel. And Daniel happened well before Jesus came. This is the prophecies of the Bible. Imagine the excitement of the Magi or the wise men when they pulled that scroll out and they read that scripture that Daniel taught their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather 600 years before. 600 years before Daniel prophesied that. I can imagine, let's go, let's get the Chevy ready. Let's load it up. Get the luggage, boys. Get your stuff you need. We're going to jump in the truck and go. You know? Back then it was load up what you need on your camels, bring what you need, and let's go. And you know what's amazing too is that here it is, these Magi, these wise men from the east, pulled this out, saw these signs, but where in the world was the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that time who had all this scripture, who had all these prophecies written, who are supposed to know them? You know, King Herod, when he found out the Magi and the wise men were there, he's like, why are these wise men here? Well, they're here because, you know, if they had a high priest or a Pharisee or a Sadducee that knew the prophecies, would have said they're here because they're looking for the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. But I bet you they were too busy with their politics, too busy with the world around them, that they forgot all about it. They probably never even noticed a star in the sky. And that's us. We get so busy with everything around us, we don't even realize the times we're living in. You know, we realize that, hey, guess what? All the signs and everything that tells us that Jesus is coming back sooner are happening now in our day. See, Jesus is going to appear again. He's going to appear again. And he's coming soon, very soon. All the signs tell us that he's coming. I pray, Lord, right now that we would not be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the King Herod that didn't recognize the time of Jesus' birth. I pray that our eyes are open, our ears are open, and that you would just invade us with the truth of the gospel, invade us with the truth of your coming soon, your coming return, and your coming to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with righteousness and justice. Amen. I pray that we're ready for it. Are you ready? I want to be ready for it. It says that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, it says that, and I love this, it says, after hearing the king, this magi went on their way, and there it was. There it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine these magi, these wise men? They see that, they see it stop. They come to the place where it stopped, and it's like, we're here. We're here. This is true. This is real. Look at that star is shining down on a lowly manger, on a couple, a lowly couple, a humble couple. And there's a baby shining, laying there in a manger. They were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped. Isn't that amazing? Falling to their knees, they worshiped. They worshiped the child. And they opened up their treasures. And they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then being warned in a dream, don't go back to King Herod the same way you came. Go back to your homes and go a different way. But can you imagine the Magi just overwhelmed with, you know, when you get overwhelmed with joy, tears run down your face. You cry, you weep, you know, and they just fell to their knees. It makes me think of when Jesus returned. When Jesus comes back, guess what the Bible says is going to happen? Said every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord for a believer and an unbeliever. Just like the Magi, they fell to their knees. We too are going to fall to our knees when Jesus is returned. Amen. We, you know, our lives start out as a journey. They really do. You know, if you think about it, your life starts out as a young man from birth to growing up to getting old as a journey. And you know what that journey is? It's a journey to find Jesus. It's a journey to find the truth. It's a journey to find Jesus' love and salvation for you. It really, truly is a journey. And you're on the most epic journey of your lives that you can ever have. Every one of you out here, every one of us, and we're all at different stages on that journey. We're all on different parts of the road. Some might be farther down the road than others that are first starting their journey. But that journey leads, and that road leads to Jesus. Every time, for every person. Because everybody is going to face Jesus. Whether good or bad. It says it in the Word. And it's true. We're all on an epic journey. Just like those wise men. I pray that we would be wise. And our eyes would be open. And our ears would be open. And our hearts would be open. To receive the truth. And not let our hearts get hardened. But that our hearts would be soft and moldable for God. And that when we see Jesus. And when Jesus appears to us. Because you know Jesus is funny. He appears to you on different stages of that walk and that journey in life. You know, all of a sudden Jesus is there, boom! And you're on a high and you're excited and you fall to your knees and you worship. And then sometimes he doesn't meet you till you're farther down the road again. But he wants you to walk out your life in faith and in trust and obedience to him. Any moment now Jesus can return again. He's going to appear. And it says every knee will bow. And my prayer is that when we bow and we worship him, it'll be full of joy and excitement. Because we know the scriptures. He's given us the map to the road. And it's in the Word. Amen? So Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we're all on this journey. My prayer is that we all find you, Lord God. And that, Lord God, we all walk with you. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord God. And Lord God, I do pray that we would have the gift of prophecy here pouring out, Lord God, over our children and grandchildren. Actually, Lord God, I want them all to come down. I want to lay hands on them and pray for them, anoint them with the gift of prophecy, that they would become prophetesses and prophetors. prophets in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, girls, line up. Come on down, Ephraim. Me and Grandma are going to pray.